Let's open with prayer, please. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us this evening, to open our hearts to your word and to guide us each day. We pray for your word to be heard always in clarity and truth. We pray that you would be with those that could not be with us this evening, to bless them and keep them. Comfort those who are in our thoughts and strengthen them, and be with us now as we gather in your name. For you, Lord Jesus, are our focus and reason for our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. If you would turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 3 and read with me as I read verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. As we read in verse 1, the Holy Spirit asks us to consider three things in which we should take note of for our benefit and for our understanding. There is an appeal to consider Jesus. There are the persons for whom the appeal is directed, the holy brethren and partakers of the heavenly calling. And there are the characters of Jesus Christ which are to be considered, the apostle and high priest of our profession. The first thing is the appeal given to us to consider Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, calls upon us to consider the one who so far excelled Moses as the heavens are above the earth. The question then that might be asked is, what does it take to consider Jesus? If you or I were to consider a situation in our lives, would we give some slight thought to it in a comparison? Or would we utilize the word consider as it is described in the dictionary? Webster's dictionary describes consider as follows. To view attentively, to fix the mind on, with a view to a careful examination, to think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on, to observe and examine, to have regard or respect to. In the New Testament, there are no less than 11 Greek words that all mean consider. And the word used here is kataneo. And it's the same word that was used by Jesus when he said, consider the ravens and consider the lilies in Luke 12, 24 and 27. And then again in Hebrews 10, 24, where it is written, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. To consider Christ means, therefore, to thoroughly ponder who and what he is, to examine his dignity, his excellency, and his authority, to determine what honor he is so deserving of. In failing to do so, causes us not to give him the respect he deserves or to remember daily who he is, and gives reason to explain why we know so little about him and why we do not love him as we should. On the other hand, if we do diligently consider Jesus, we put to memory his attributes in our hearts, and our thoughts of him are more than just occasional. The reason why we should consider Jesus Christ is suggested by the wherefore at the beginning of the verse. It draws a conclusion to what has been said in the previous chapters. It is because he is the one through whom deity is now fully and finally revealed. It is because he is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. It is because he upholds all things by the word of his power. It is because in infinite grace became flesh and dwelt among those he came to redeem, having purged the sins of his people. It is because he is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. It is because he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. It is because he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And it is because he himself suffered being tempted and is able to help them who are tempted. These are the very reasons we should consider Jesus. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And Jesus, of course, was speaking of money at that time, but we could also say that if we treasure Jesus as our Savior, there will our hearts be also. In John 1:1, we read, it says, John described one of the characters of Jesus Christ as the Word. And then in John 1:1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In trying to thoroughly learn about Jesus, we need to thoroughly learn God's Word. In quoting Jerry Bridges concerning God's Word, he said, "The word hidden conveys the thought of storing something up against the time of future need. We do this by meditating continually on God's Word, by constantly thinking about it, and applying its truths to everyday situations of life." He then went on to say, "I cannot think throughout the day about what I do not have in my heart." Our consideration of Jesus demands that we study and meditate on God's Word to store up Christ Jesus in our hearts. According to a recent survey, I read that 73% of Americans say that it's important to read the Bible. And 93% of U.S. households say they have at least one Bible. But sadly, only 12% say they read the Bible every day of the week. And even sadder, only 16% say they read it one day a week, and that includes Sundays. And then unfortunately, only 5% of Americans have a biblical view of the world. The definition of a biblical view of the world requires someone to believe that absolute moral truths exist, that the source of moral truth is the Bible, that the Bible is accurate in all the principles it teaches, that eternal spiritual salvation cannot be earned, that Jesus lived a sinless life on earth, that every person has a responsibility to share their religious beliefs with others, that Satan is a living force, not just a symbol of evil, and that God is the all-knowing, all-powerful maker of the universe who still rules that creation today. We ask the question, how can we have a personal relationship with our Savior without knowing who he is and what he is about? And the answer would be only by studying and believing his word that we can do that. John MacArthur said in his book, Drawing Near, he said, I find that the longer, the more intensely, and the more devotedly I look into the glory of Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture, the more the Spirit of God changes my life into the image of Christ. The second thing for our benefit to understand is the persons for whom the appeal to consider Christ Jesus is directed. First, the brethren, as opposed to brethren of the flesh. They were believers in Jesus Christ that belong spiritually to the family of God. If we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are in that family of God and holy brethren. Secondly, the partakers of the heavenly calling, or in another word, would be sharers of an eternal heaven. We are sharers of an eternal heaven because confirmed by Paul in Ephesians 2:6, we read that Jesus has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The third and the most important thing for our benefit we have is the character of Jesus Christ to be considered. We have the apostle and we have the high priest of our profession. In studying the characters presented, we need to fix our mind on Christ Jesus and recognize him as our apostle. An apostle in Greek would be apostolos, and by dictionary description, it's one sent forth. They come from the words apo, which is from, and stelo, which is to send. The Lord Jesus used this word to describe his relationship to God. And Jesus, in praying to God, the Father, in what was considered Jesus' high priestly prayer, the night he was arrested and tried, spoke these words in John 17:3. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." In praying to God, Jesus was affirming that he was sent by God, that we might know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. An apostle's or ambassador's characteristics are that he has the rights, the power, and the authority of the one who sent him. Jesus was sent with God's rights, power, and authority. If you'd note that he's not only is Jesus an apostle, but he's the apostle. He was the first apostle, the 12 being appointed by him and sent out by him. Peter was an apostle of the Jews, of the circumcision. Paul was an apostle of the Gentiles, but Jesus preached to all who would hear. Jesus, as a prophet, brought with him God's word to his chosen people. As prophet, Jesus Christ is God's representative to his people. As priest, he represents his people before God. As the apostle, he speaks to us from God. As a high priest, he speaks for us to God. In these characters combined, he is a mediator and an intercessor. As apostle, he is close to us. As priest, he's close to God. Jesus, in doing these things, performed that great gap or filled that great gap that was between man and God and acted in accordance for our benefit. The second character to be considered is the great high priest of our profession. Our profession is one of a of confession that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and declaring Him our great High Priest. When we think on Jesus Christ as our High Priest, it also brings to mind the heavenly tabernacle in which He currently reigns. The Old Testament was like a picture book of God's plan for man. Likewise, the earthly tabernacle was a picture of the true tabernacle in heaven. But the tabernacle on earth was also a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. If you read in the beginning of the Bible, there's two chapters in the Bible that are devoted to the creation story. But there's some 50 chapters devoted to the tabernacle. So it was important to God to reveal this to man. Outside the tabernacle was the bronze altar for sin sacrifices and the bronze laver for cleansing. This would represent that once we have received the forgiveness of our sins through Christ's sacrifice of Himself, we still need His daily cleansing that restores fellowship and joy. Everything in the outer courtyard was connected with salvation and cleansing of sins. Jesus' sacrificial work on earth, outside of God's heavenly presence, the outer court was accessible to all who would come to Him. And just as there was only one entrance into the tabernacle, there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Inside the tabernacle, in the holy place, there was three pieces of furniture. There was the golden lampstand. There was the table of showbread. And there was the altar of incense. The golden lampstand representing Jesus Christ who lights our path. The table of showbread represents that He feeds us in His word. And the altar of incense represents He is in constant intercession for us, raising up our prayers before God. In the Holy of Holies was only the Ark of the Covenant, upon which was the mercy seat. That would represent Jesus Christ, the true mercy seat, over the new covenant in which He reigns. In 1 John 2:2 and in Exodus 25:17, that word used for the mercy seat was hilasterion, which means the place of propitiation or the place of reconciliation. In just considering these two characteristics of Jesus, we are overwhelmed by our need to better know Him, to have respect for our Lord and Savior, and to seek Him and draw near to Him. If we go down to verse 6 and read, "But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." In the spring of this year, we did a Bible on Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, in the book of Hebrews. And currently we're studying Equipping the Saints for the Work of the Ministry, which is the church. This verse in Hebrews touches on the subject of the church. We learned that we are the Lord's house. His house is not a building, but believers. Whose house are we? Are the believers in which Jesus Christ created and is the Son over. This verse also in reading refers to holding fast. True saints persevere, not because of their works, but it is proof of their salvation. In John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." The coming of Christ into this world was the great hope which believers long for. Abraham rejoiced to see his day. The prophets searched diligently concerning it in Titus. And then in Titus 2:13, Paul writes, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Another verse expressing this word hope is in Hebrews 7, verse 19, in which it reads, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Jesus is our hope, our better hope, through whom we draw near to God. God's desire is for us to draw near to him. In James 4:8, we read that, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And then Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You could interpret this verse that Jesus Christ desires to draw near to us if only we would draw near to him. Some Christians might consider Jesus Christ only as a means to salvation and personal happiness. If they believe they are saved and are fairly happy in their life and in their circumstances, they consider their lives fulfilled. But drawing near to God is the key to a Christian's life. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 17 and 19, he writes that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. A true Christian seeks the fullness of God. That fullness can only be obtained by knowledge of the breadth and length and depth and height of Jesus, knowing his love and considering Christ Jesus daily. The Holy Spirit speaking through the writer of Hebrews has a goal for the believers, and that is for them to draw near to God. Three of the seven occurrences of drawing near in the book of Hebrews are in Hebrews 4:16, where it's written, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then in Hebrews 7:25, it says, he, Jesus, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And then Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who draws near to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who seek him. It is by drawing near to God through his Son that we receive mercy. It is by drawing near to God in his word that we truly consider his Son and have confidence that he intercedes for us forever. It is by drawing near to God in prayer that he strengthens us in faith in Christ Jesus, for he is the author and finisher of our faith. And so let us all consider Christ Jesus as we draw near to him and to God. And now I'll conclude my message with a quote from John MacArthur from his commentary of Hebrews. He said, "The reason so many Christians are weak and worried is they do not keep considering Christ, and so his full strength and comfort and guidance are not theirs." The Holy Spirit continually says to every believer, consider Jesus. When life gets rough and problems seem to have no solution and everything goes bad and disappointment and depression become normal and temptations seem impossible to resist, put your gaze on Jesus and keep it there intently until he begins to unfold before your very eyes in all his glorious power. Shall we pray now? Dear Lord God, help us to consider daily Jesus, our Savior, our Apostle, our great High Priest. Help us to draw near to you as we draw near to Jesus. Help us to diligently study your word and know the breadth and length and depth and height of our Savior and Lord. Help us, O Lord, to know your love for each of us and to share your love each day and to know your will in our lives. Now, as we partake of the symbols of your sacrifice, help us to focus on your mercy and grace bestowed upon us and the new covenant it represents. Help us as we go out this night to always keep you in our thoughts. Protect us and guide us, for we ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.